The Old Testament reading comes from Amos chapter 5. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Why would you have the day of the Lord? It is darkness and not light, as if a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand against the wall and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? I despise your feasts, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the peace offerings of your fattened animals, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your songs. To the melody of your harps I will not listen, but let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is the word of the Lord. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was the cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, 'Truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" The Holy Gospel, the Gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I read a comment by someone this week that said, "I feel like a shell-shocked veteran of a metaphysical war." I understood what he meant. I don't particularly like war metaphors. It seems grandiose for a fat, comfortable American to use them, when we have plenty of people who have seen actual combat. But Paul does use that language for the Christian life. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against the powers and principalities of this dark realm. A week that began with the massacre of a church, roughly the same size as ours, just kept rolling with potentially troubling thing after another. Some public and shared, others private and parochial. And the cumulative effect of such experiences can simply be a deadening of the spirit. What Jesus would call at the beginning of this sermon that we dip into today, the love of many will grow cold because lawlessness will be increased. The love of many will grow cold. Jesus' sermon, his last one, in length rivaling the Sermon on the Mount, is called the Eschatological Discourse, or sometimes it's called the Olivet Discourse, because he sat at the top of the Mount of Olives opposite the temple while he delivered it. He's talked about signs of the end of the age, and the fall of Jerusalem, the abomination of desolation, and the withered fig tree, as in the days of Noah and the coming of the Son of Man. He's coming at an hour you do not expect. Then, the parable of the wise and foolish virgins describes what the kingdom of heaven will be like then, at the end of all things. But in Jesus' telling of then, it has revelations mostly for us now. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took lamps, but no oil. The wise brought lamps and flasks of oil. Then the division is easy to see. Now, the division is not so easy. Now, the wise and the foolish reside together. Now, the wheat and the weeds grow together. Both then and now, there are lamps for everybody. The Word of God, the lamp to our feet and the light to our path, has gone out to the ends of the world. That's really the point of the book of Acts. The gospel has been proclaimed and continues to be proclaimed. The necessary light for our salvation is present now. As John would say, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And here's where I would have a major bone to pick with our translators. The King James translators capture it better. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Our modern translators, for some reason, turn that active voice, an active choice by the bridegroom to tarry, into a passive was delayed. As if the King of Glory, who comes along his way, if he determined to return, could be delayed by anything. Pish. That wishy-washy passive stands against the entire witness of Scripture. As Peter would say, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises to you, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Today, while he tarries, is the day of grace. Today is the day that we can join those wise at the foot of the cross. The bridegroom tarries and keeps that door open. He sends out his messengers and the Spirit knocking at the doors of the house, the doors of our hearts. He keeps lamps lit and lampstands, those congregations around, because today we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today, we hand out by grace those invitations to the wedding feast. Today, there's a reason we're here. One short story in that direction that I heard this week, it comes from the Baptists, but hey, from the Northwest, not exactly a hotbed of Baptists or even of Christianity, a group of 80-plus-year-olds decided to remove into the same retirement home intentionally for a missionary purpose, to live and to proclaim the gospel full-time in that place together, finishing the race strong. Because now is when the door is open and when the oil might be stored. There comes a time when we'll all become drowsy and sleep, the wise and the foolish. The night comes when we cannot work, but not now. But at midnight there was a cry. Here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then both the wise and the foolish rise and trim their wicks. The Athanasian Creed, the long one that we recite on Trinity Sunday, includes towards its conclusion these lines about that resurrection. At his coming, all people will rise again with their bodies and give an account concerning their own deeds. As Lutherans who emphasize justification by faith alone, we tend to move quickly by those words. But there it is in the creeds. We will give an account concerning our deeds. And here it is in Jesus' preaching. We will all trim our wicks. We will all have to give an account. Then. Now is the time that by grace we can pick up our lamps. Now is the time, because we believe what Christ has done for us, that we can take up our own cross and follow. Now is the time that we can see the face of Christ in our neighbor. Now is the time we can get the oil. These are not obvious things now. In fact, they are often hidden. Things in which there is no form or majesty that we should look at them, no beauty that we should desire them. Things that the popular religion would say is powerless or without signs. Things that the world would say are foolishness. Things that come before us daily. Things that Paul says God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I'm neither smart enough nor dumb enough to specify specific examples that I think you should do. But they all grow out of the virtues of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's no law against any of these things. No law other than Satan and the world, and our weary flesh working against us. Then, at that midnight hour, we will know exactly what we needed. But then, there will be no open markets, no place to practice these, no way to buy or sell. Now, however haltingly or clumsily we might be, and I cringe at thinking of the report that I'll have to give about myself, now is the time to fill the flask with oil. We have the lamp. We have the word of God and the cross of Christ before us. We have the clearest demonstration of the love of God that he has for us. Clearest demonstration that's possible. Are we foolish? Do we take that cross for granted? Do we assume that the lamp and the lampstand is in our hearts and will always work, regardless of our practice? Do we presume that others will always provide the oil? That the market will always be open? Or are we wise? Do we patiently, with prayer, watch? Do we approach our neighbor like the Good Samaritan with hearts kept warm? Are we faithful to the word we know? Do we let the lawlessness of the powers and principalities of this dark realm put out the lamp and deplete the oil? Or do we renew ourselves through the deep vats that God has given us? Do we return to the foot of that cross, receive the water and the blood from his side, and turn full of that love towards our neighbors? Turning against those powers and principalities dressed in the full armor of God. Now, we have the lamp. And we can bank the oil to meet the bridegroom for the wedding feast. Do we keep it warm, glowing in our hearts, or let it grow cold? Where are ye, ye virgins wise? The bridegroom comes, awake. Your lamps with gladness take. Amen.